great to be able to talk to you remotely. This talk was originally scheduled for mid-March and obviously had to be canceled, the in-person meeting, so it's really nice to be able to connect remotely. That being said, I do have a few caveats. One is that, like many of you, I am working from home with my family, so you may hear some screaming of children and husbands in the background, so I apologize for that in advance. Another caveat that I just want to give is that I created this presentation for you all back in March before sort of the COVID crisis that's happening now. And I myself at the county and the rest of us at the Chief Sustainability Office, we also call it the CSO, we are working really hard to move forward with the Our County Plan process, keeping the momentum going and the ball rolling on all of these, you know, sustainability projects that we feel are so important and that we're very passionate about. That being said, of course, as you might imagine, it is all hands on deck right now at LA County with emergency COVID response. In particular, our office at the CSO has been pulled in to do the emergency food insecurity response. So our director, the Chief Sustainability Officer, Gary Giro, has sort of stepped in to be the emergency director of the feeding branch. And so our capacity to work on the projects that we had previously been working on is somewhat less, maybe somewhat delayed. Of course, budget issues are also changing what we're able to do and what we're not able to do. I do think food and food access and nutrition is a big part of sustainability, but that's where most of our energy is going right now. And so that's not, you know, the distribution that we originally envisioned and hopefully long-term won't be. But I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of that context of what we're doing now and how some of what I'm about to present to you might be changing in the future. So with that being said, I'm gonna try to move through it relatively quickly and save some time at the end for any questions that you have about the Our County Plan and about this presentation, but also if you have any questions about how the COVID emergency is sort of impacting these issues or what the county is doing, I'd be happy to talk about that as well. If I can figure out how to advance the slide, there we go. All right, so first of all, why do we even need a sustainability plan? So the topic of my discussion today is the Our County Sustainability Plan. It's actually the first ever regional sustainability plan that applies to the entire county. Before that, there have been sort of more local sustainability plans. For example, the city of LA has its own sustainability plan and other entities as well. We never had a regional one for LA County before. And so to just take a step back and to say, why do we need sustainability planning at all? I always think it's really important to sort of really think about the beginnings of some of these environmental movements. And they really are rooted to a large degree in public health. This picture, I think it's from 1973. It's, you might recognize, downtown LA. And you can see that the smog is so bad that visibility is hugely impacted. And that's what people were breathing. And that was impacting their health. And of course, all across the country, not just air quality, but the quality of our water, soil contamination, all of these things that we were doing to our environment were really having real and important impacts on people's health. And so from our perspective at the CSO and from my personal perspective and my interest in sustainability stems from this nexus. What we do to our environment impacts our health, our well-being. And so environmental sustainability, it's not just about the environment in isolation, it's about us. It's about how can we live well, be healthy, thrive in health and thrive economically and together in a way that's sustainable for future generations. And this problem, or this opportunity even, of how we can attain that vision is, I think, particularly complex and exciting in LA County. And I think probably any local municipality could tell you lots of ways that it's unique, and I think that's true. But the County of Los Angeles is really a special place, I think. It's been inhabited for more than 10,000 years by indigenous tribes. People have been living here for generations and generations. One out of every four Californians lives in LA County, and one in 33 Americans, one out of every 33 people in America lives in Los Angeles County. It's a big place with 10 million people living here. To just give you one idea of the kind of diversity that we have here, over 200 languages are spoken within LA County. But we're not just socially diverse, we're also geographically and ecologically diverse. We have over 75 miles of coastline. We have mountains, we have forests, we have deserts, we have wetlands. It's a biodiversity hotspot here in LA County, even though it can seem really urban from most of the places that we live. It's actually a really unique place from an ecological perspective. And it's just plain big. It's over 4,000 square miles. It's larger, even though it's just a county, not a state, it's larger than several US states. And if it was a country instead of a county, its economy would actually put it in the G20. So it's a very big, challenging, complex, exciting place. Then that presents a challenge for creating a cohesive regional planning process. And then sort of the flip side of sort of that, the beauty and the opportunity that we have here because of all of our diversity is this historical legacy of racism that we live with today. And I'm talking about the disenfranchisement of indigenous tribes, but also even very recently, things like redlining and exclusionary zoning. This is a whole redlining map of sort of the metro area of Los Angeles. And you can see, I won't go into too much detail. You guys might already know a lot about this, but like people of color were systematically and institutionally excluded from the more desirable places to live in the city, both economically desirable, but also environmentally desirable, healthy places to live, they were excluded from. And even though we don't have these policies exactly on the books today, we're very much still living with the results and the effects of these sorts of decisions, which just sort of echo down through generations. And so to give you an example of what that looks like in real life today in LA County, this is a picture of an oil field, probably near the Hahn Recreation Area, I'm guessing. And you can see in that red circle there that there are residential units right alongside with no buffer, that industrial oil extraction zone. And so those frontline communities and their communities of color, in most cases, they're living with the potential health effects of that oil field. So any potential contamination of the soil or the air or the water, they're living with the psychological effects of that, whether it's noise or just the anxiety from living so close to an industrial site. They're living with the economic disenfranchisement and disinvestment that comes from living in a location like this. And they've been living like that for generations. And so when we talk about sustainability planning and how equity and environmentalism and public health and environmental exposure are all related, this is one example of the type of thing that we're thinking about. And so thinking about that looking at what that looks like on a broader scale, this is a screenshot of sort of the metro area of LA County from a CalEnviroScreen, which is a state tool for exploring environmental disparities that you maybe are familiar with. But you can see that the red parts are the parts where people are suffering disproportionate environmental health burdens, and the green parts are less burdened by environmental health problems. And I think that the biggest takeaway for me from this map is that these environmental burdens don't exist in isolation. They are extremely cumulative. The same communities over and over are being impacted disproportionately by a variety of adverse environmental effects, whether it's contaminated soil, contaminated water, they're living along the freeway, they're exposed to the pollution there, they're living near industrial sites, they're exposed to contamination that way. All of these effects, they're not distributed equally in the county. They're being burdened again and again on these same communities, low-income communities, and usually communities of color as well. So when we talk about creating a sustainability plan for LA County that's equitable, that's inclusive, that's going to make investments in our sustainable future, this is what we need to be keeping in mind. Equitable investment, it means investing in these communities, the communities that have been disinvested, that have been disenfranchised, that are suffering the worst effects of our abuse of the environment. Those are the ones that need to come first in this plan. So that's a little bit of context about the plan. So now you may be wondering, what does the plan look like? So I'm going to get a little bit into the plan process and sort of where it came from and how it came to be. So when the county decided that they wanted to create this Our County Sustainability Plan, they really wanted it to be aspirational. It's a big, bold plan. It's comprehensive. It's long-term. It's regional. The idea is that it's analogous to a strategic plan. So the idea is we're setting out this big vision and this big, bold, ambitious strategy. But what the plan doesn't have is a really detailed implementation process. And I'll talk a little bit later about how we're held accountable as far as the actual implementation of what we describe in the plan. Because as you'll see, if you've ever opened the plan, there's not a lot of those details in there. It just wasn't within the scope of this first visioning document, but we do have a plan for that. And I'll talk a little bit about that later. And then the other thing to keep in mind, I think, with the plan is that the county of LA has a lot of power and a lot of levers that it can move to implement some of these goals in the plan, but we don't control everything in the county. You may know that there's actually 88 incorporated cities within LA County. So there's the city of Los Angeles, which is our biggest one, but there's actually 87 other cities within LA County, from like Pico Rivera, Long Beach, Pasadena, Hawaiian Gardens. So there's tons of incorporated areas in the city, and that's where most people in the city live. Anything that's not incorporated into a city is unincorporated area. That is where the county has direct control. About 1 million people out of the 10 million people in the county live in those unincorporated areas. And then we also have control in other ways. For example, just our, you know, our agencies and departments, our public health department, our regional planning department, our parks department, we can control what they buy, their purchasing policies, their policies of what they do with their buildings, and other things that we have direct control over. And then also, I think that public health is an interesting example and a top of mind example right now. I think all of us are having a little bit more interaction with our Department of Public Health than we have in the past with this current emergency, which is that the LA County Department of Public Health actually does serve as the Department of Public Health across the entire county for almost all of the 88 cities, not just the unincorporated areas. The only cities that have their own public health departments are Pasadena and Long Beach. So that's another area where, even though it's outside of the unincorporated areas, we have some direct control about how we're running operations in public health. Some other areas that we have sort of more indirect control, so we don't directly control them, but we can have influence, are places like Metro. The Board of Supervisors of LA County also sits on the board of Metro, or same for South Coast Air Quality Management District. And then in addition to actually having some controlling seats on the boards of some of these regional agencies, we also just have relationships and ongoing communications with cities and other agencies and districts throughout the county. And we can use those relationships to sort of push forward this agenda. So that was the vision: big, bold, strategic, regional. The way we went about actually putting that on paper was actually by starting with engagement. So instead of starting by writing a draft plan and then bringing it to the community for public comment, we actually started with engagement first, and that was really important for our process. We had some guiding principles that we used as we embarked on that equitable engagement process. First of all, of course, ask, don't tell, also known as listen, don't talk. Using an intersectional approach, centering around environmental justice and low-income communities and communities of color. And then deep and early involvement by community-based organizations. So this was a really important one for us. A lot of these community-based organizations have been working in and helping and advocating for their communities really closely for a long, long time. And they have a much better idea of the needs and priorities of the people that they serve in those communities than the county ever could possibly have at the deep local level. Just because the county is so big, we just don't have the capacity. And so those organizations are already doing the work, and we wanted to utilize that and highlight that. One way we did that was actually by providing grants to 5 community-based organizations, one in each of our 5 supervisorial districts of the county, and asking them to sort of lead the engagement process for that district from the ground up. So instead of us sort of coming in and saying, okay, here's the stakeholders we're going to reach out to, here's how it's going to go, here's where we're going to hold the meetings, here's how it's going to be, we sort of let the CBOs take the lead because we knew that they had a better idea of what the needs were in those communities. And so these are just some examples, some pictures. Visuals are always good to show what that engagement really looked like on the ground. Things like plenaries, where we really did just talk about the different topics that we wanted to approach. But then group discussions, where you can see somebody writing on a poster board there in the background. We literally just recorded everything that people brought up in these meetings and transcribed it and synthesized it to be used in writing the report. Similarly, we did something we called Thought Democracy, where after our stakeholders were able to give their feedback and write their ideas on these boards, then other stakeholders were able to vote on which ones they thought should be highest priority using little sticky dots, and we recorded everything that people indicated. Reporting back as we went along, as we were collecting this information, republishing it back out so that everything was transparent, making sure to include things like public-private partnerships, looking for places to involve the business communities, looking for places to involve advocacy, looking for places to involve the cities specifically around engagement for the plan. So really trying to be comprehensive and deep engagement with all of our different variety of stakeholders. And so what that looked like at the end of the day, from when we started our engagement process, which was in fall of 2017, until we completed it. And completed it is a take that with a grain of salt, because of course our engagement is never complete, but engagement around the discussion draft that we produced, which was until spring of 2019, we had more than 150 meetings and presentations to all sorts of stakeholder groups, from business groups to community and nonprofit organizations, cities, labor, tribes, academics, you name it. We had 11 half-day or longer workshops that were altogether attended by 600 people from 350 separate organizations. And then we also had a separate city summit that was just specifically for cities, those 88 cities in the county, to come together to discuss regional coordination and collaboration. And so those sort of like formal engagement processes, plus, you know, meetings, calls, anything else that we took in that time period, we synthesized all that, and at the end of the day, we had over 6,000 recommendations of what people of our stakeholders said that they wanted to see included in the plan. So we were able to take those 6,000 recommendations, combine them, condense them, find any overlap, and we turned it into 500 actions. And then we further combined and condensed those 500 actions, and finally were able to publish a discussion draft in April of last year that included about 150 actions. And all of those actions came from that engagement process. So we didn't write them first and go to the community. We literally took feedback from engagement and boiled it down into these 150 actions. And that became the foundation and the basis for the plan. So what's in it? what did we end up having come out of that process? What will you find if you actually open the Our County plan? And that's a good question. It has a lot of the stuff that you would expect. And then I think maybe, depending on your experience with sustainability plans, some stuff that you might not expect. So it includes actions and ideas that are around water, energy, climate, air quality, land use and transportation, open space, waste management, all the things that you might traditionally find in the sustainability plan. But additionally, we also included health and well-being, because again, as I mentioned, from our perspective, health is foundational to the idea of sustainability. We really wanted to make that clear in our plan. We also have economy and workforce development. Economy is one of the three E's of sustainability, if you know that term, the environment, equity, and economy. So we wanted to make sure that we're including economic sustainability and resilience. And then also housing. And I think housing is an important part of any sustainability plan that is looking at health and well-being, but it's particularly important, I think, here for LA County, because as we know, housing situation is a bit of a crisis, and we wanted to make sure that that was not overlooked in our plan. You'll see that what we don't have listed in this bullet point list here is equity and resilience. And that's because we didn't feel that those were chapters, you know, things that we just wanted to have a paragraph about and move on. We really felt that equity and resilience both needed to be woven throughout each of these different ideas. So we can't talk about water without talking about equitable access and resilience. You can't talk about air quality without talking about equity and resilience. And so we really wanted to make sure that those topics were addressed throughout every portion of the plan. And then another thing we took into consideration when we were sort of putting together the elements was actually the City of LA plan. They call it now the Green New Deal. You may have heard of it. And we wanted to make sure that wherever it made sense, we were aligning with that Green New Deal, just to make sure that we're really maximizing our efforts and getting the most efficient use of resources to achieve some of these shared sustainability goals. So these are the topics and the way that we address the topics in the plan. But if you open the Our County plan, you won't see a water chapter or an air quality chapter or an open space chapter. And that's because what we heard from stakeholders was that these topics that you might traditionally see a chapter around in a sustainability plan, they can't really be addressed in isolation. One really important example for Los Angeles is this energy water nexus. You know, we're trying to conserve water here in LA County, but every drop of water that we save is also energy saved because we're spending tons of energy to pump water here from Northern California. And so you can't really, you know, when you have an energy efficiency measure or a water efficiency measure, it's hard to tell which is which. These things are really intertwined. And it's the same, for example, with land use and transportation. You might have a strategy which is going to be, you know, less land use for cars, more land use for bus. That's sustainable because we could have more open space or more space for housing, but more buses and less single occupancy vehicles also means better air quality, right? So is that a transportation strategy or is it an air quality strategy? So we didn't really want to silo ourselves by looking at these topics specifically, and that's what we heard from stakeholders. So instead, we took our 150 actions and we organized them into these 12 really high-level cross-cutting goals. These are really complex ideas that contain a lot of information about sort of a vision, really. Each goal is a vision for what we want the County of LA to look like in the future. I won't go through all of them here, but I have them both two slides that show all 12 goals. Just a few examples. Goal one, resilient and healthy community environments where our residents thrive in place. Buildings and infrastructure that support human health and resilience, equitable and sustainable land use and development without displacement. A really important one, a controversial one, but one that we really stand behind, a fossil fuel free LA County, sustainable production and consumption of resources. So you can see that these goals, they incorporate potentially many of those topics that we talked about, but they're not exclusive just to those topics. So they really reflect the complexity that these issues have in the real world. So we have our goals, that's sort of the chapters that we have, those 12 cross-cutting goals. And as I said, those are broad statements of a desired future state for the county. So for example, that first one, equitable and sustainable land use and development without displacement. Beneath the goals, we have a series of strategies. So these are getting a little bit then more specific than a goal, that's starting to get at the approach that we're going to use to achieve the goal. So in this example, ensure that housing and infrastructure improvement do not facilitate displacement, particularly of disadvantaged communities. And then under each strategy, that's where we have those actions, those 150 plus actions that I mentioned. And these are as detailed as it gets in the plan. We're calling them detailed statements on a policy or program to fulfill the strategy. So for this example, one action under this strategy, implement substantive resident and small business protection measures to avoid displacement impacts. And that's a little specific. It's more specific than the strategy, and it's certainly more specific than the goal. But as you can see, this is not an implementation plan. This is not a detailed step-by-step blueprint of how the county is going to achieve this vision. And so the way that we are accountable and moving forward with that implementation is department by department. So for each action, it contains these components. Action 12, as an example, complete development and start implementation of the Green Zones program. It has a horizon. That means it's either short-term, medium term, or long term that we're hoping to achieve it. And that helps us organize and prioritize which actions we're going to be working on first. It has a sphere of influence. Most of our actions are things that we can directly control as a county, but there are some things that we just don't have direct control over. And then really importantly, there's a lead county entity. So in the case of this action, the lead county department is the Department of Regional Planning. And what that means is that the Department of Regional Planning is responsible for the implementation of that action, for creating that detailed implementation plan that includes not only the implementation itself, which is sort of the middle, but also the engagement, which comes first, and then the evaluation, which comes last. So there, for each of these actions that you see in the plan, it sort of stops with the action at our county, but then at the department level outside of this document, they'll be creating plans to implement each of these actions. And so just a couple examples of more actions, just to give you an idea. Action 93, eliminate minimum parking requirements for all new residential units and implement parking maximums within a half mile of high quality transit stops. So this is one that we're hoping to do in the short term. It's something that we have direct control over for certain areas. And the lead county entity is going to be the Department of Regional Planning. And they're going to be doing it in partnership. They have a partner agency here with Public Works. And you can see that there's also topic tags here. So as I said, we don't organize into an air quality chapter or a climate chapter or an energy chapter. But for each action, we have a tag that says, well, this could impact any number of topics. And this allows you on our website to sort actions by topic tags. So even though we don't have a water chapter, you can view all of the actions that have a water impact, for example. Here's another one. Action 54, evaluate the feasibility of transfer of development rights and transfer of floor area rights. This one's specific to climate resilience. So using these land use tools to reduce development in high wildfire hazard areas, for example. It's something we're hoping to do in the short term, something we have direct control over. In this case, the lead county entity is the chief executive office, and that means us, the chief sustainability office. We live within the chief executive office in partnership with another lead, the Department of Regional Planning. So we have our goals, we have our actions, our strategies, and we have our actions. The other component of the plan, the final component, is our targets. So these are the data metrics that we're going to be tracking, sort of the indicators to make sure that we're being held accountable to actually meeting the goals that we've laid out. And so here's just a couple of examples. One is that we are targeting to be carbon neutral for county operations by 2045. We're hoping to have 80% locally sourced water by 2045. Here are some examples of targets along with the strategies that they go with. So strategy 2A, to integrate climate resilience and adaptation into planning, buildings, and infrastructure. How do we make sure we're doing that? One target under this strategy is to look at the percentage of cool surfaces versus absorptive surfaces. So asphalt, as you know, it's black, it's absorptive, it gets really, really hot on hot days and contributes to heat island effect and exacerbates the health impacts of the extreme heat that we can expect with climate change. So by replacing those absorptive hot surfaces with cool surfaces, something like that's reflective or even maybe greenery, landscaping, we can help achieve that strategy and achieve that goal. So the targets here are increase the total land use cover by pool surfaces by 10% by 2025, by 20% by 2035, and by 30% by 2045. Strategy B, to implement transit-oriented communities or developments. I can't actually see what that one says. Development. The targets here are 50% new housing within a half mile of transit, of high frequency transit by 2025, 65% by 2035, and 75% by 2045. So this is where we're getting to the sort of the numbers, the accountability that we'll see. Just a few more examples. I won't go into detail, but create a zero emission transportation system. We'll be tracking new EV charging stations. We're hoping for 60,000 and then 130,000. And then by 2045, we have a new target, more ambitious. 100% of all new light duty private vehicles are zero emission vehicles. That's what we envision for 2045. Another one is strategy 8A, reduce vehicle miles traveled by prioritizing alternative to single occupancy vehicles. So here we're looking at trips taken. By 2025, at least 15% of trips taken by something other than a car. So we're looking at by foot, by bike, micro mobility like scooters or public transit. By 2035, 30%. By 2045, we're looking at hopefully 50% of those trips taken by something other than a car. And all of these targets are sort of interconnected in a way. This figure is from the Our County plan. And it just gives an example of how some of these things can work together with, you know, one project and one funding source, maybe sort of achieving multiple aims. For example, a living street. You can see all these call outs. So for example, a street tree, if it's properly selected, if it's a shade tree, it can help reduce heat by providing shade, by providing cooling. It also helps with stormwater management. And if it's a native species of tree, it can increase biodiversity and provide habitat for birds and insects and all sorts of other wildlife. If it's a low water use tree, which most native trees would be, then it reduces the need for landscape watering. So you're helping with our water targets there. Cool pavement, just talked about streets paving with reflective materials can lower the heat at ground level and help prevent the health and environmental impacts that we expect from climate change, from extreme heat. Another cool one is street furniture, helping to make outdoor spaces more inviting and helping people decide to walk and facilitating social connection, which as we know from our current state is a very vital part of living a healthy life. So hopefully we'll be able to be socially connecting on our street furniture again soon. Bus only lanes, helping to improve access to transit, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, improve safety, and increase service. So providing a lot of different benefits from one strategy. And also green infrastructure. So not just trees, but looking at things like rain gardens and bioswales that are gonna mimic natural processes so that when it rains, they're sort of absorbing that runoff, slowing down the flow of the water, which is gonna reduce flooding, which has of course health and safety impacts. And then also filter pollutants from that stormwater, so protecting the water quality of our rivers and creeks and beaches. So that's a little bit about how we created the Our County Plan. It was adopted by the board and finalized August of last year, August 2019. But just because the plan was finalized doesn't mean that we're not staying involved and that you can't stay involved because we have an ongoing process for the plan to sort of live and grow and to continue to take feedback and involve stakeholders in the process. And the way that it sort of works is that every February we have a priorities report due to the board that is going to look at all of the actions in the plan and using input from stakeholders and using input from departments, identifying what the near-term priorities are for implementation for the coming year. We released our first priorities report in February of this year. It was just a few months ago, but it seems like a long time ago, and I hate to say that we don't know for sure how those priorities are going to change or if we're going to be able to move forward exactly as planned when we first published that report, just due to the capacity situation at the county, due to the budget situation at the county, and then also just due to being responsive to what people need at the county at this time. There may be things that were a high priority before that don't seem so important now. There could be things that we were planning to do in the long term that now seem really critical. So we'll be taking that February report with a grain of salt, but we'll be doing it again next year and looking for feedback from stakeholders on that. And then in every August, we will publish a progress report. And so our first annual progress report will be published this August, but before that, a draft version will be published for public review in which we'll be taking comments and feedback to incorporate in order to finalize the plan for the board for August. So it's a good opportunity if you're interested. When that draft plan becomes available, if you review it, if you have any comments, please let us know and we'll be incorporating them into our final version. So another way you can stay involved is just by going to our website. It's a really cool dashboard that you can explore at ourcountyla.org, and you can sort of sort the actions a little bit more with a little bit more control using our website. So obviously the PDF version of our plan is just, you know, page after page, but this way you can look, okay, what are all the short-term actions or what are all the medium-term actions? You can sort by horizon, or you can sort by lead county entity. So if you want to know, okay, which ones are public works lead on, or where is Department of Public Health taking the lead, you can sort that way. Or this is where, again, where you can sort by topic tag. So if you really are, you're like, I'm just interested in water. Like, I know you don't have a water chapter, but I really just want to know which actions have to do with water. Here you can sort by topic tag and see only the actions that have some implication for water management. Another resource that you can look at is our LA County open data portal. So if you go to the Los Angeles County data portal, I think it's data.lacounty.gov, you can see down there on the bottom right, there's a sustainability plan tile. And if you click on that tile, you can see all of the data that we are compiling and tracking as a part of our progress tracking for the plan. That's something that'll hopefully continue to be updated, and that's a place you can go to see the progress that we've made so far and the data that we have available to share. So with that, I think that's the end of my presentation. I don't know how much time we have left. I do have a short video, but I can hold it, save it, in case we have time at the end.
Go ahead, we have still time.
Oh, okay. I have this cool little video.
We're going to create the most ambitious, comprehensive regional sustainability plan ever, and it's going to be groundbreaking and lead the nation in how you address these issues.
LA County is a very big place. One out of every 33 Americans lives in LA County. Think about that.
This is an opportunity for the county to start to integrate and really respond to the voices of our communities.
Many times, communities like ours are not listened to or are not part of the process or just don't know how to be engaged.
When you work with electeds and when you work with other organizations, we can actually create plans that's more not just inclusive, but representative of what our community needs to look like.
What would you dream of if we had a perfect county that was healthy, equitable, and sustainable?
We don't have to choose between clean air and good jobs. We can have them both.
We believe in environmental justice. We believe in responsible sustainability, and we have an obligation to do that.
What kind of a planet, what kind of a place are we leaving behind for next generations?
People truly care about their community, and they're suffering real harms from the environmental pollution that's in our atmosphere.
We just need a better opportunity to succeed. That's the reason why I care, and that's the reason why I'm doing this.
Because we know that we have a responsibility to be caretakers of this place where we're at.
They're talking about the environment because that's the part that we all live in. It's universal.
The more we get out of this, the better we will feel, the better our children will feel, the better future generations will feel about what we are doing.
And I think this sustainability plan is one of those really big solutions.
We have the political will, we have the creativity, and we have the persistence.
This is a plan that's really going to be a roadmap for us all.
People coming about and having their voices heard, no matter what community you come from.
That's why this is our voice and our county.
This is our county.
Esta es nuestro condado.
This is our county.
Este es nuestro condado.
This is our county.
This is our county.
Es nuestro condado.
This is our county.
This is our county.
This is our county.
This is our county, and we need to care. We need to start caring about that. So.